Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing it has been already just being in this house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, look with me to the book of Psalm in chapter 62. Book of Psalm chapter 62. We're going to be reading verse 5 down to verse 8. The heart of this psalm right here. If you would, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to stand. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. This is a psalm of David. Psalm 62 and verse 5. The Bible says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again, what a blessing it is to just be in church. Thank you for the opportunity that you made available for all to be here and for those that have taken advantage of it that are here. And I pray that you would just continue, Lord, to help us to sense your presence. Pray, God, that you would help us to open up our hearts and our mind with the desire to receive what you have for us today. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. David says in verse 5, and I believe this is the key to this entire psalm, but especially this heart of the psalm, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Expectation. The definition of that is to wait for something that you believe will come. To wait for something that you believe, you have faith, that will come. Have you thought about your expectations? Are they right? Are they wrong? To have them, not to have them? Are they used of God? Are they used of the devil? Are they good, bad? Have you ever thought about what kind of expectations that you live with? It's been said, and I counsel this from time to time, but no expectations, no disappointments. You can't be disappointed by something that you have no expectations of. But I don't know if that's the way you want to live. That's not the way that David wanted to live. David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he brings this passage to us. Verse 5 down to verse 8, as we've just read that. David understood that God would have us to live with expectations. For it was God who directed David to write those words. "For my soul, wait thou only upon God." So David had somewhat an expectation of his own soul. And then he said, "My expectation is from Him." There was an expectation that God had of God. In David's relationship with God, he makes some great statements after saying that his expectation was from God. Based on verse 5, he says in verse 6, "He only is my rock. Having God as your rock, expecting God to be there as your rock, and my salvation. Without God, I have no salvation. He is my defense. And when I understand this and expect this, I shall not be moved. In verse 7, he says, "In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge." He has an expectation of God being his refuge. And then verse 8, he said, "Trust in him at all times." There's an expectation to realize that no matter what's going on, no matter what I'm facing, I need to trust in God. And as I trust in God, pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart with expectations that God gives us. David would focus all of these expectations. And again, it might be something you've never even thought about, but maybe this morning and through this message, you will think about it. Do I have them? How are they guiding me? What kind of expectations do I have of myself? Of my spouse? One of the things I do in premarital counseling is establish expectations of each other. And then you do everything you can do to meet those expectations. And if both of you are doing everything that you can do to meet those expectations, and those expectations are guided by God's word, you can have a great relationship. David would focus his expectations, first of all, on self, my soul. Wait thou only upon God. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But then the second one is on God's promises. For then he said, my expectation is from him. It's what God has given to me that I can put my faith in him accomplishing in my life. My expectations of God based upon what God has given to me, his promises, his commitment. Wow. Another wise counsel that I think that we hear and I think we need to give out from time to time, and that is expect much from God, because God would have us to expect much from him, because he has much to give. He has things that you can't find anywhere else. And sometimes we get our expectations on things that cannot fulfill, but God will always fulfill the expectations that he gives it to us. So expect much from God and self. For you can control how you fulfill your expectations to yourself. If you try to live with no expectations of yourself, you're going to live a miserable life. But yet, if we have expectations from God, then we have to have expectations of ourselves to meet the conditions that God gives us to be able to expect from him. And when you put all this together, can I tell you, you have the blessings that God would want us to associate with our expectations. So expect much from God and much from self, but very little from others. Sometimes, you know, our parents disappoint us because we expected them to give us more money than what they give us. Wednesday night, I used Peyton in an illustration of her dad giving her $100, and she came up to me today and said, "My dad never did give it to me." So she's disappointed in her father because he didn't give her the $100. She had an expectation that if it was presented by the preacher from the pulpit, that he would follow through with it. Relationships fail when based upon wrong or unrealistic expectations. Relationships in general. Your relationship with God. Your relationship with your spouse. Your relationship with your children. Your relationship with your parents. Your relationship with your friends. Your employer. Your employees. Whatever it might be. Relationships fail when based upon wrong or unrealistic expectations. So we find this in the Bible. And God's recorded it and preserved it for us to learn from it. First of all, David's expectations of himself. My soul, wait thou only upon God. He would expect from himself that which God would expect from him. Did you get a hold of that? He would expect from himself what God would expect from David. And that is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The most important thing in our Christian life is to look to God with expectations. Look to God with all to fulfill all the promises that he gives to us. To look to God in this life is not to be perfect, but with a desire to continue to grow. Not to be sinless. God does not expect us to be sinless. But God expects us to continue to grow in sinning less and less and less as we draw closer and closer to him. In the book of, and God gives us instructions and gives us his word to help us to understand what our expectations are based upon, and even on basing it our own. The Bible says in 1 John in chapter 2, let me just read some verses to you here. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not." That is God's will for our lives. But that's not his expectations, that we become perfect. That you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, I love that because he says, now your desire ought to be to sin not, but I know your sin nature. I know you better than you know yourself, possibly. And so I'm not going to watch over you and have this big club ready to, when you sin, to just pounce your head. God says, that's not what my expectations are. My expectations of you is, but when you do sin, to understand that God still loves you and you have an advocate. God has made a way for you to be able to have forgiveness and a cleansing of those sins. My expectations of you is when you do fall short. My expectations of you is when you do yield to something you shouldn't yield to. Whether it be a thought or whether it be an action or whatever it might be, is not to continue in that sin, but come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God and confess that sin and forsake that sin so that I might be able to, through the blood of Jesus Christ, wash you of that sin. And restore fellowship. Don't expect fellowship as you continue to yield to sin, but expect fellowship once you have confessed and forsaken that sin and having that sin washed away. Praise the Lord for that. Do we have that kind of expectation of ourselves? Do we have a wrong expectation that I'll never sin? And then when you do sin, you're devastated by it. And you might even get to the place you say, well, I just can't live this life. Why try? I can't be that perfect person. I can't be Jesus Christ. And no, you cannot be a sinless son of God. But you can be a child of God sinning less and less. With a desire to live a life that is after the life of Christ, it's following in his footsteps. What I'm saying is we cannot have wrong expectations even of ourselves. But we can expect what God expects. And you'll find when you have the expectations of yourself that God has of you, then there'll be a peace and a joy that's associated with meeting those expectations. Jude verse 20 and verse 21. Let me just read to you what the Bible says there in Jude, which is the last book before the book of Revelation. We find here the Bible says in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." A couple things there. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith and keeping yourself in the love of God. That's the Bible, so that's what God expects of us. And that's something that we can do. And that's something that only you can do for you. But if you don't have those expectations of yourself, you won't do that. But if you understand this is what the expectations that God has of me, and I want to have the expectations that God has established for me to have, that I will look to not sin and look to build up my own faith. I mean, I need to learn more and more about the Word of God because that's where faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then I keep myself in the love of God. That means anything that would hinder my love for God has to be removed. In a marital relationship, that's one of the things that God directs us to. He says, this needs to be the most important relationship in your life outside of your relationship with God. And you need to make it the most important relationship. That means don't allow any other relationship, don't allow any other thing to come between the relationship that you have with your spouse. Only you can do that. But you can do that if you have your expectations of that. If you don't have expectations of that, then you will not be the person you need to be in that relationship. Wow. Philippians in chapter 1, we find here that the Apostle Paul understood this. And Paul would say in Philippians in chapter 1 in verse 20, let me just read it to you. The Bible says, Paul writes, he says, according to my earnest expectation. Paul said, this is my expectation of me. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. So anything that would lead him to be a hindrance to the work of Christ, anything that would lead him to be a stumbling block, anything that would lead him to be ashamed as he would stand in the presence of Jesus Christ, he says, my expectation, my earnest expectation of myself is not to put myself there, not to do those things, but keep myself from being a shame or a hindrance to the cause of Christ. According to my earnest expectations and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. I shall be ashamed. I've got that expectation myself. But that which with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. What a great way to live. When you're living that way with the right expectations of yourself, then you can enjoy the promises and having the expectation of the promises from God being fulfilled. That's good stuff. That's life-changing stuff right there. Because then David would switch after he would reveal the expectations that he had of himself. Then he would present the expectations from God based on what God reveals that he could expect. My expectation is from him. Do you have expectations of God? Have you claimed them? Have you cried out to receive them? They're in Psalm 62 again. What a great psalm. He is my expectations from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. It's all right. When you understand what God would have you to expect from him, to claim it, to ask for it, to look to God for it. For God is a refuge for us. What can we expect? I can expect God to be my heavenly Father. I love that thought, and I've mentioned that many a times because that's how God wants us to view him. That's the kind of expectations when we think about God that he wants us to have. A loving, heavenly Father. In Galatians in chapter 4, in verse 4 to 7, let me just read this to you. In Galatians in chapter 4, the Bible says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive. Jesus Christ came. He paid your sin debt. He makes it available for you to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba Father, my dad. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. God wants me to feel the love of a heavenly Father. Even when I'm being disciplined. If you expect God to be your heavenly Father, then you have to expect the direction that God has given fathers in raising their children. I often tell parents, if you don't know how to raise your children, then look to how God is working in your life and how God raises you, if you will. And be the father to your children that God is to you. There's no greater love. But in that love, there has to be discipline. In that love, there has to be nurture. There has to be admonition. And so likewise, when we are going through some of those trials, they're not always pleasant. But I have to realize that my Heavenly Father has a purpose for me going through those trials. As 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 7, we'll not take the time to go there, but that's where the Bible reveals to us that as we go through trials, God has a plan and a purpose for them. Never lose sight of a loving Heavenly Father working in your life the trials that we are facing. There's a purpose and a plan for that trial. Never lose sight of when God is disciplining you, and He will discipline His own, that discipline is only out of a love for you. I always had a hard time with my parents being a little bit stricter on me than the parents of other of my friends around the neighborhood and things. And I always thought, well, I wish I had different parents. Because then I could stay out all night if I wanted to. I could do this and I can do that. And things that I was restricted as a child because of my parents, I thought, if I could only have different parents. The older I got, I was able to understand it's a lot more difficult for you to raise your children and discipline them and with rules. It's a bit a lot easier for them just to let you go and run wild. But what happens to the child that's allowed to run wild versus the child that is disciplined and raised with the love of a parent who cares? Yeah, it makes a difference. Definitely makes a difference. As I understood that, I started thanking God for having loving parents that would sacrifice, would take the time to discipline me as I needed to be disciplined, because I would not have turned out the same. So when we're going through a discipline, we're going through a trial, I can expect to be loved by a Heavenly Father. I can expect His presence. I can expect His presence at all times, no matter what's going on, because we find in the Bible we have a promise of God for believers. And the Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God the Father has said to each and every one of His children, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, I can have confidence in that, and I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If I know that God's presence is always with me, I don't have to have the fear of handling things alone. Expectations. When you're going through some of the most difficult times of life, it's when you need to claim those expectations. Focus on what God wants you to expect from Him, His presence. If I don't sense His presence as I'm going through the valleys, as I'm going through the trials, I'm going through the different things of life, then I need to cry out to Him and say, Lord, help me to sense Your presence, because the old devil's working to keep me from it. There's something that's hindering me sensing Your presence in my life. I don't want to live without Your presence in my life. I can't make it through this without knowing that I have Your presence. And you can. Because it's a promise. Yeah. Have to have expectations. God wants you to live with expectations. God wants you to know when you're going through it, you're not going through it alone. Even though it might seem like it is, you're not. How do you know that? By faith. My expectation is for God to be with me, no matter what. Yeah. I expect His provisions. Sometimes we get wondering, man, all the different shutdowns and in society and all the what's going to happen this new year, what's all the different things, what will I even be able to put food on the table? Will I be able to take care of my family? Will I be that type of worry will destroy your mind and your peace. And you don't have to have that when you can expect God to provide. That's not saying that you can just, sit on the couch and put your feet up on the table there and say, oh, Lord, provide. That's wrong expectation. But if you're doing everything you can do to expect God to do what you can't do, to provide, oh, yeah. That's the right expectation. Lord, give me wisdom to know what I can do, and faith to know that You'll do what I can't. God will provide. Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19, it's something that the Bible gives us as a promise to that, as long as we're doing our part. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if you're meeting the expectations that God has of you, then you can live with the expectations that God wants you to have from Him. And that brings a peace and a joy. Wow. I can expect His help. Not just His presence and not just His provisions, but His help. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, His help. The Bible says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That means boldly come to God in prayer, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. Expectations of His help will energize prayer. If you're not praying and asking God, it's because your expectations aren't where they should be. If your expectations are where they should be, then you can come boldly into the throne of grace. And you can ask God, and you can have a confidence that He will meet those expectations. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, and we'll not turn there for sake of time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he had this affirmity in the flesh. I believe that Paul says three times, and I believe it was three sessions of time of making prayer and fasting and asking God to take this infirmity away from him. And after the third time, God revealed to him, "It's my will for your life. And I'll give you the grace to live with it." And as soon as he heard that, he had the grace to live with it and to rejoice in it. Wow. Expectations of his help will energize our prayers. And lastly, this morning, I expect to go to heaven. I expect to go to heaven when I die. Do you have that expectation? Jesus said in John chapter 14, "My Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." I believe that. And my expectation is, till my mansion is ready, I'm going to be here. I thought it was ready a year and a half ago or so. Yeah. I was excited about it, really was. I know my family do not like to hear me say that, but I was excited about it. Because I have expectations. It's the expectations, the insight that God has given to me of heaven. Paul had these same expectations. And again, over in the book of Philippians, I'm getting ready to close here, but in the book of Philippians, I love what Paul writes in chapter 1. Again, here, if you look down to verse 23, the Bible says this: "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." When you have expectations of heaven, can I tell you, there's even a little bit of a desire inside of you to look forward to something that is far better than this life. And if you wouldn't think about completing the will of God, the race that God has you to run, and how it's going to impact other people's lives, you would say, "Take me home." The end of COVID, you take me home. The end of winter, take me home. The end of arthritis, take me home, yeah. The end of pain and suffering, the end of disappointments, the end of all the different things. Listen to me, there is a peace associated with being able to have expectations of to be present, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And not only that, there's a peace, even when we think of others who are going to die, to know that they're not really going to die. Their bodies are going to stop functioning in this world. But the person that I know is going to glory. And in glory, they'll experience everything that I'm looking forward to. And there might even be a little jealousy there, thinking they get to experience it before me. But at the same time, there's a peace about knowing that I'll see them again. If you have that expectation. if you live with expectations of going to heaven when I die. I live with the blessing of all these expectations and many more. It's just a few. Do you have them? Are you aware of them? It's a life changer. When you understand the importance of right expectations that God gives us, I can expect from me what God expects from me. And I can expect from God what God wants me to expect from Him. What are your expectations? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. It'll make a difference. Just being aware of them. Do you have right expectations? If not, no better time to establish them than today, right here, right now. Father, we bow before you. Again, we love you, Lord, and thank you for the truths of your word, especially as we look into the life of David and what he has given to us in this psalm. God, how you've allowed us to be able to just look to this psalm and to draw from this psalm. I pray, God, that it would possibly be a life-changing commitment to have right expectations of ourselves and of our God. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.